Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is our reading this day from James, from which we read verse 10 once again as a summary. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Fathers, brothers, sons, most everyone here today is preparing for or has already prepared for the profession which deals with the craft of words. They are the tools with which you will perform and do your ministry throughout life. Now, as we look at the craft of words and the men who wield them, I think we ought to pay heed to the scriptures. All through your professional life as clergyman, you're going to live in a tension between the abstract and the concrete. The tension which attempts to bring together those great abstracts, as far as you are concerned, into the reality of people's lives. You will be dealing with words. Why do we have words? What's a pair of lungs for? And the raw material of air? What is a pharynx and the larynx and the glottis and the tongue and the lips and the teeth for? What are phonemes and syllables and vocables and sentences and syntax for? Why? They are to serve God and man. The whole purpose of language, you see, is to serve. It seeks to first of all praise and thank Him for having created us and our language. Words are holy, words are sacred, because they were created by Him and furthermore redeemed by His Son. You heard what words can do. Indeed, they can. I, George, take you, Helen, to be my wedded wife. I plight thee my troth, not to leave thee till death us do part. I take an oath that I, as an air controller, will not strike against our government. Upon this, your profession as an ordained servant of the word, to be faithful to the scriptures and the confessions of our church, upon this, your confession and profession before this God's people, I welcome you as a brother in Christ and ordain you into the holy ministry. Words mean something. Words are not for nothing. The decay of a culture can be marked by its decay of language. And as our culture decays, our language decays. And the gap between the word and the thing, the race, becomes wider and wider, until you can't even see one or the other, as we live in deceit and lies. Babel wasn't for nothing either, when God struck down our language because of the fall. Language was affected by the fall. What we say and how we seek to communicate is affected by sin. Listen to politicians talk. Not everyone is a phony as they seek to try and communicate with language what their program or policy is. And somehow the message never gets across. What do you mean? What do words and syntax convey? God has spoken to us in His Son. Not only to redeem me or you, but to redeem our language as well. What is it in John 1, that beautiful verse? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is called the Word. Words are sacred, aren't they? And who would be more sacred than the Son, upon whom the Father places that noble word and name, the Word? The ultimate full expression of God's communication from Himself to a lost world. The Word. I'm sending the Word. And the Word brings the abstract right to the concrete. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, filled with grace and truth. The Word is filled with grace and truth, and it's in the flesh. Did not John write, we touched Him with our hands, we felt Him, we heard Him with our own ears and with our own vision. We saw Him, the Word made flesh. The abstract is now walking in human flesh as my brother. And He demonstrates once for all that with Him there is no difference between the Word and the thing. When God speaks, it is. What He says has reality. And our whole ministry must reflect the One who is the Word, who became like us, who became flesh with us, who also had a larynx and a pharynx and a glottis and a tongue and lips and could speak labials and dentals and gutturals and all the rest, who would take the raw sounds, those phonemes, and put them together as syllables and vocables and sentences and thought and message and meaning. For He came to bear us on the cross. Not you, not our language could be redeemed simply by even Jesus Christ just walking and teaching. It had to be by a sacrifice. The only begotten Lamb who gives His life on the cross, who bears all the misery and sin that I am. And today especially thinking of all the deceit in my tongue. And He bore it all. If you are the King, come down. What lies we tell. What hidden agenda was in that statement? As the Son pours out His blood, not symbolic blood, not make-believe blood, but real blood for the sins of the world, for the words we speak in evil. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He speaks the true word, the healing word, the renewing word, the forgiving word. The Word of God to man. And the enfleshed Word, dying on the cross, reconciles me to my Father. And reconciles my mouth too. He has not left you without a witness. Here it is. That's the enfleshed Word. The once for all event in all history and time and space where God's Son redeems a world from its brokenness and its fractures. But He has left us a witness in the inscriptured Word, the Word in writing, the reality of God's communication to you in truth, his very word, the Deus Logos, the God speaking to us today. He speaks the word to us. And it is a healing word. It is a word that touches our lives and changes them. It is a word that changes our tongue, you see. Your language is affected by the cross and the open tomb. Your language is changed by the inscriptured word in several ways. First and foremost, you have a new reference point. When you use words, they have a different source. You have a referent to the cross. I don't care of what you speak, whether theological jargon or in your daily conversation with one another. The referent now is in your vocabulary and your syntax, in your meaning and your intention, in your form as well as the matter, in your communication to one another and to yourself. Words take on new meaning for you because words have been redeemed by him and your language is something new. We speak a new language, you and I. Did not the scriptures say that grace and love and truth fell from his lips? Well, now they are from yours too. Because you are his man, and your tongue speaks with his tongue, and your words are his words, filled with his meaning. We know from our studies in the New Testament how God often sees just plain, ordinary words, and suddenly he packs in them new meanings for new people. And that's your vocabulary of reconciliation and forgiveness of sins, and new life in God, and hope eternal, and a relationship of love and harmony and conquer. Furthermore, we must always be renewed in that new language. That new language is always on the edge of being seized from us by the demonic one. And brethren, that ought not to be. Out of the same mouth of his saints proceed blessing and cursing. That ought not to be. The words we speak ought to be renewed daily by his word to receive his language and his meaning as we encounter the God speaking to us. Seize your language as a child of Christ. Let every word and the thoughts behind that form them reflect and show that you are the redeemed of Jesus Christ and that gracious words and loving words fall from your lips for other people. So that you may place your tongue at the service of Christ who has redeemed it. Because your tongue and your language is for God and for people. And in our cystic age, everything's for me. Do it my thing, not for us. We're doing Christ's thing with Christ's words. So this day, as we listen to James, this beloved, let us heed his word on our words and reflect on his words and show the sacredness of our language, because in Jesus Christ, we have already learned a new language and new meaning for the new beings which are in this world and shall be in the world to come. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.